I thought about telling a joke or two. I say a joke or two because I'm not going to tell the second one if the first one don't go well. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not very good at telling jokes. All right, I do better making funny faces and sounds than I do actually telling jokes. People cry at my jokes. Oh my God! Make him stop! Make him stop! All right. So, but can you handle a joke or two right up top? Is that okay? Are you sure? Because, okay. All right. So, early one morning, a husband and wife, they were having a disagreement, this discussion right top off the day. Talk about getting started on a bad foot. And they're kind of going back and forth, and they were arguing over whose responsibility it was to make the coffee in the morning. And so the husband's like, look, I work really hard. I bring home the bacon. You know what I'm saying? It's your responsibility as the woman to take care of the meal. So you should make the coffee. And she looked at him, is that so? As if I don't work too. You think that all you have to do is work? Well, let me just tell you something, sucker. Since you want to get technical, how about we take this to the Bible? He's all, what? Yeah. Did you know that the Bible says that it's the husband's responsibility to make the coffee in the morning? He's like, that is, woman, go get your Bible. I've read the Bible, and the Bible doesn't say anything about making coffee in the morning, about the man making coffee in the morning. You show me where that's at. She goes, fine. So she goes and gets her Bible, and she opens up to the New Testament. She goes, here it is right here. There's a whole book on it. Hebrews. Hebrews. How'd I do? Don't worry, I'm not going to quit my day job, I promise. All right, can you handle one more, or should we move on? Okay. Well, man, you guys can get this excited for the Word of God. I'm just saying, okay, no, all right, so there's this pastor, right, working really hard, and he just really wanted an extra day off, and he wanted to go play golf, take a load off, and just kind of relax, But he felt guilty calling into the office, be like, I'm not going to come in today. I'm going to go play golf. So he decided to tell a white lie. Everybody say, ooh. Now, nobody does that here at the Rock Church. We know that, you know, actually, in all seriousness, that's not okay for those of you who might be calling in sick but posting pictures on Facebook of yourself at the beach the same day, okay? But so just keep in mind, this is a joke. This is not okay to actually do, all right? I'm a pastor. I just can't get away with that. Just saying that without, you know. So anyway, he calls in and he calls in sick. So he calls his office. He wants his secretary to work real hard. Wants his extra day off. So he calls into his office. His secretary answers the phone. And he says, I'm really not feeling well today, and so I'm not going to make it in. And so, everything should be well and in order, though, and I'll be back tomorrow. Okay, Pastor, we love you. We'll be praying for you. I'll let everybody know, and we just believe that you're going to get well soon. He's like, okay. So he hangs up the phone, and this thrill goes up in his heart, like, I'm going to go golfing. So he grabs his golf clubs. He throws them in the back of his car. He's got his golf shoes. He's got everything in order, right? And then he gets his car. He's like, wait a second. I got to make sure that nothing goes wrong with this plan. So let me find real quick a nice golf course in a city a little ways away, because I don't want my staff or members or somebody driving by and finding that I'm out golfing on the day I called in sick. You know what I'm saying? So he finds a golf course, a little ways away, and drives out to that city, and it's perfect because there's like hardly anybody there. So he shows up and he first hole. This is kind of a long joke, huh? and he shows his first hole. He puts his tee down. He puts the ball right there on the tee. Gets his favorite driver out, and he's just feeling good. And he squares himself away. And you tell me if this is good, Joshua. But he's got the stance. And he brings it back, and he just feels so good. He swings right on through. Bam! The ball shoots up in the air, nice high, straight, 100 yards, 200 yards. 300 yards still going. Next thing you know, this gust of wind takes this ball and drops it right off on the green, at least from the pastor's perspective. So he's totally thrilled, jumps in his golf cart, drives down to the hole, and he can't find his ball. He's looking for his ball, like, where's the ball? All of a sudden he realizes, oh my gosh, I just hit a hole in one. It's in the hole. 450 yards, par four, hole in one. And in that moment, an angel looked over to God and was like, why'd you do that for? God was like, what does it matter? He can't tell anyone. All right, all right, all right. I know, a long story for a little punchline. Did it? What do you say we go ahead and pray tonight as we jump into the Word of God? Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the house of God. Father, thank you for an opportunity to gather together in the family of God. Father, we're part of the family. Lord, we are sons and daughters, Father, of our King, and this is a family, God, and we come together with other people who believe like we do, and we are encouraged. Father, thank you also, Lord, that in your house, Father God, your family can freely talk about your word, at least here in America, God. We're thankful. And Lord, as we open up the Word of God, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are present and you are the teacher of the church, and that you will speak to each and every one of our hearts and bring the revelation that we need in order to move forward in the things that you have for us. Holy Spirit, our desire is to be everything that God's called us to be and to do everything that God's called us to do. So we thank you for the work, and we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. I'm going to take a real quick swig of water just so we eliminate those pips and squeaks. All right, so we started a series last week called Too Legit to Quit. You know, I didn't realize till last week. Do you realize he actually says sweat running all over my chest? I heard that. I was like, oh, what? Anyways, too legit to quit. We started a series called Too Legit to Quit. And, you know, we got specific about what that means. All right. We're talking about the fact that Christianity is too legit to quit. It's too cool. It's too awesome. It's too sweet. It's too wonderful. My relationship with God is too wonderful. It's too important for me to give up, cave in, and quit on Christianity. Find myself one day that, you know what, my faith is shipwrecked. Find myself one day that, you know, I've fallen from grace, as the Bible says. It's too legit. It's too important for me to start to back off and to stop coming to church and stop reading my Bible, stop praying, end up at the club, end up at the bar. No. This thing is too cool. And as you and I come to a realization of what Christianity is, and how about this, a remembrance of what Christianity is, all of a sudden now we're enabled to cling to the cross. We're enabled to cling to Jesus and let all the other things of the world go. How many of you guys realize this, that as humans, it's too easy to lose sight of what's important? As human beings. In fact, if you look throughout the Word of God, one of the things that God fights with the most is getting people to remember. You could say this, aside from the devil, our next arch enemy is forgetfulness. All throughout the Word of God, God tells Joshua, hey, make sure that you're in the Word of God every day so that you don't forget. Jesus says, hey, you know what? You got to make sure that you're a doer of the Word. James says, hey, you got to make sure that you're not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the same. We forget, we lose sight. And as a result, what happens is the cares of this life, the things of this life creep in and slowly but surely, subtly pull us away from the things of God. How many know today the Bible talks about that there are cares in this life? The Bible talks about how the cares of this life can get you and I to falter and to fail. Cares, worries. Last week, we really emphasized this point, you know, difficulties in life. When difficulty arises, people, you know, the first thing your flesh wants to do is run. People want to give up, cave in, and quit. They want to back off. They want to, you know, they want to go someplace. Their flesh wants to go someplace that's comfortable. All right? But listen, you cannot be defeated if you will not quit. And the Bible says, don't be like those people who draw back to perdition. Don't be like those people who draw back to destruction, but be those people who continue in the faith, who keep on believing until the saving of the soul. And when your salvation is fully manifest, when the work is fully done, that will be when you reach heaven and you see Jesus face to face, either in heaven or he splits the eastern sky and he comes back. How many know today that Jesus is coming back? There is a second coming and he's going to split that eastern sky. He's going to come riding back on a white horse. There's going to be a sword that comes out of his mouth to devour the enemies, and God's glory is going to shine on that day. And I'm believing that that day is going to come in my lifetime. I don't know about you, but I believe it's going to be soon. I think we're seeing wars and rumors of wars. I think that we're seeing earthquakes and we're seeing pestilences and we're seeing different things rise up in our time today that foretell the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when that happens, whether Jesus splits the eastern sky or you die and you go to heaven and stand before him, you want to be found having kept the faith, having fought the good fight, and having run the race. Can you hear me today? You don't want to be found having given up, caved in, and quit, backed off of the things of God. On that day, the Bible says he's going to award to those who've made it, to those who've overcome, the crown of righteousness. Ooh, that's really sweet right there. I'm looking forward to my crown. I don't know about you. But that this will all happen when you and I make a decision not to quit. So last week we did this. We took some time to look over the gospel. We kind of, remember, we took four verses, I think there's three or four verses there in Colossians that told the whole gospel, shrunk it all down, because as wonderful and as amazing, as much detail as the gospel holds, it's really quite a simple story. And we talked about in the gospel, what it did was it refreshed us again of what we have in Christ, of what Christianity is really all about. Of its legit, of how legit it really is, how cool, how sweet, how awesome it really is. And what that does, again, is it helps us regain focus on what's important. And thereby, we're able to cling to Jesus, hold on, and move forward instead of backing off. I'm reminded of an old song. You guys may recognize it. We've done it once or twice here. But the old song says, hey, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full. I like that. Look full. You can't be looking to the left. You can't be looking to the right. You got to look full on his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. And that's what we did last week. We talked about the gospel. We talked about the story of God's love. We talked about his wonderful grace. We talked about his promises. We talked about his glory and his power. And all of a sudden, as we begin to remember, the things of earth begin to grow strangely dim. And going back all of a sudden becomes more obscure than it ever has been before. Go back? Go back to what? What's there to go back to? My old life? What's there to go back to? The sin that had me bound? The bondage? What's there to go back to? Go back to serving the enemy? Going back to being lost? Going back? No. All of a sudden the gospel came along and it refreshed us and renewed us. Hey, this thing is too legit to quit. It might be difficult right now, but I'm going to pick up and I'm going to move forward in the things of God by his power. Listen, God is for me. Who can be against me? I cannot be defeated, and I will not, and I will not quit. And so the glory of the gospel really helps us to regain. You know, I said, let me go back for just a moment. I said, you know, they're the cares of this life that get us to back off the things of God. Cares, you know, of difficulty. How many know this too? The Bible also does talk about the fact that sometimes the Bible calls it the pride of life. All right? And sometimes life is so good to some people that they come to the conclusion, well, what do I need Jesus for? Right? That's why you find Jesus saying things like this, you know, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Why? Because some people, they really got it going on. I mean, financially, they got it going on. They've got status. They've got prestige. They have influence. They have everything that a human's heart could ever desire. And Jesus says, all right. So life has been good to you, but what does it profit you if you gain, you know what, the whole world, the whole stinking thing, but lose your soul? What did it profit you? Well, nothing. So again, all of a sudden, at the light of his glory, at the light of his grace, at the light of this gospel, all of a sudden, where the cares of this life have gained prominence in our mind's eye, all of a sudden now Jesus can gain the prominence he's deserving of and should have in our mind's eye, and everything else becomes obscure, everything else becomes shady and clouded at best, even the good things. You know, Paul talked about, hey, listen, I've counted everything as loss for the excellency of gaining Christ, everything. And he talked about what those things were beforehand, the prestige. He talked about the fact he had been raised in the church, if you will, of the time. He had been raised by the best, taught by the best. He had position. He says, but all these things that were once gained to me, I have counted loss. Because I've got a picture, and I found Jesus Christ. All right, the gospel that we talked about last week, was this week, just real quick to remember, we talked about the fact that, you know, we've been reintroduced to God again. That Jesus Christ came and reintroduced God to you and to me. It's really kind of cool because, you know, you go all the way back to the beginning and you remember that humanity walked with God in the garden face to face, Adam and Eve. But then by the time Jesus shows up on the scene, humanity doesn't even know who God is anymore. And remember, we read that one verse talking about a sad story. Remember Jesus showed up and the Bible says that here he was and he created everything, but his creations didn't even know who he was. How sad is that? Right? But what's so cool about it is that he came and he reintroduced us to God. And all of a sudden you remember, anybody here remember when you met God the first time? When you met Jesus the first time? I think that probably most of you, if not all of you, would bear witness with me for just a moment. And you would say that at that moment you realized, up until that time, I had never lived before. I never had life before until I met Jesus. All of a sudden when I met Jesus, all of a sudden I realized what life was all about. And it's all about knowing him. Everything that I'd done before don't matter. Don't mean a thing. Everything I've done before, and thank God it won't matter either. Amen. In other senses. I don't know why that was funny, but I love Ariel. She's amazing. All right, so I met up with Jesus and now I know the meaning of life. In other words, now I know the meaning of life. All right, what else did we say? We said not only are we reintroduced to Jesus, but we find forgiveness of sins. And where sin had stained you and I, where sin had marred you and I. And you know what? There's nothing that you and I could ever have done to remove that stain, right? And we tried. And so as a result, sin came in and became dominant in our lives. Sin exercised authority and dominion over our lives. And the Bible says that we grew more and more corrupt. It warped our lives. There's nothing you could do to get out. And so the only other thing you could do is continue to follow it and just get worse and worse. Until the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed. And all of a sudden, sin is forgiven. We have redemption and it's wiped out. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious flow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Old Testament says, hey, where your sins were as crimson, they shall be white as snow. Where they were as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus. We also said that not only have been forgiven, washed clean, I find this wonderful redemption, but also I've been given a new life. A new life. No longer do I have to live producing dead works, but now I can bear fruit that remains. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which he prepared beforehand, that you should walk in them. So I don't know what people have said about your life today, but God has purposed you and God has destined you for good things, for good works. You might be the black sheep. You might be the oddball out. You might be the person who, you know, everybody else in your family, they graduated college. You barely made it through high school. Everybody else might have an amazing career. Today, you're still living with mom and dad. Everybody else, today, listen, you may have been the person who was the outcast and the person looked at as they are a terrible person, but I'm here to tell you today, if you are in Christ Jesus, then you are God's workmanship, and by his grace and by his spirit, he's going to cause you to produce fruit that remains. And you know what's going to happen? The Bible says your joy will be full. Fruit that remains. That means that there's going to be fruit here on the earth that remains that's going to follow you all the way into heaven. You're going to be rewarded for it. God's given me a new life now. I've got new characteristics. I've got a new person on the inside. I've got new attributes. We also found out that part of this means being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No more inferiority. No more sin or shame complex. Now just a confident faith when I approach God. Righteousness is to be holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Righteousness is to be holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. You don't have to worry what God thinks about you anymore when you go before God. Man, I did some terrible things today. God's going to get me now. And you stop praying. and you stop praying and you stop seeking and you give up. Why? Because, well, I'm a dirty old rotten sinner. No. You haven't gotten the revelation yet. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It wasn't your works that made you righteous to begin with. Ain't going to be your works either that are going to make you righteous now that you're with God. That doesn't mean that you can go living in sin with a license to sin. All right? So don't take what I said and leave it twisted. You're going to sin. The Bible says that as a Christian, you'll end up being a partaker with the sons of obedience of the wrath of God. Don't let that happen either. But listen, when you come to God, you don't need to be afraid, insecure, all messed up, all jumbled up because you made some mistakes. No, you're the righteous of God. And when you let that sink in, you let go this complex of being a sinner. And all of a sudden now you start to live out this righteousness that God has called you to. The Bible says, all those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. It's a gift and it's been given to you. Now you need to accept it today and you need to let that be the complex. You need to let that what you see when you look in the mirror in the morning. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not a sinner. Sin has no more dominion over me. So I'm going to live this life out pure and holy, blameless, above reproach. Yes, I can. Devil, you're a liar. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Sin has no more dominion over me. And you live out the righteousness of God. And this is the gospel. It's too legit. Too cool, too awesome, too wonderful. Go back to what? Back off of what? Quit what? No, I'm going to move forward in the things of God. That's legit, if you ask me, all right? So, let me say this to you now. This is where we're going to go today, really quick, all right? As awesome as Christianity is, it will only reach its full potential when the followers of Christ fulfill their function. That was a lot of Fs, so... And when I was writing it down, I was like, wow, I didn't even mean to do that on purpose. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hopefully it'll help you remember. So let me say that again. Sorry about my voice. As awesome as Christianity is, it will only reach its full potential when the followers of Christ fulfill their function. When you and I play our role, all of a sudden now Christianity is enabled to reach its full potential. Do you know what the full potential of Christianity is? The full potential of Christianity is that it will save the entire world and present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's Christianity's full potential. This gospel message, that's its full potential. Paul said, hey, listen, this gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. This Christian thing has the ability to save the entire world and to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. But it's only going to happen when you and I play our role, fulfill our function. See, you are the body of Christ. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his mouthpiece. Hello. To bring God's kingdom and God's will into the earth. It's really quite amazing. I heard a preacher one time say this a long time ago. I forgot who it was, but so I'm just pretty soon here. I'm just going to claim it as my own. Amen. But what he said was, hey, God can do anything, but God does nothing without his people. I think everybody would agree with that, that God can do anything, right? Unstoppable God, let you go. God can do anything, but God does nothing without his people. If you look throughout the Bible, there's very little that God did without people. What he did without people is really amazing. Like, he made everything all by himself. But once man showed up, there's not a whole lot he did without people. And it's the same today. Not a whole lot's going to happen until you and I rise up and take our place, play our role, and fulfill our function. That's when Christianity is really going to come to its full potential, and it's going to reach the world. I love what Paul said. Paul said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Wow, you guys put that up. I didn't even ask for that one. That's amazing. He said, we have this treasure. In other words, all of a sudden, there's this power of God that has ability to change the world. Has the ability to bring God's kingdom to the earth. How many of you here want to see God's kingdom come to the earth? All right, I'm tired of Democrats and Republicans' kingdom coming to the earth. I'm tired of it. I don't care who they are. They're all corrupt. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. But they all got stories and lies about what happened over here and what happened over here. All of them. All of them. Don't let any one of them trick you into believing that they're all good. They all got stuff hidden. I'm tired of ISIS. I'm tired of the people of this world ruling and reigning. It's about time that the kingdom of God come to the earth and his wonderful love and his wonderful peace and his wonderful joy take over. That's going to happen when you and I rise up into our place. And listen, God wants to give you influence. Did you know that? God wants to make you a person of influence. And as long as you think that you don't have any influence, that you're just, you know, I'm not of this world. I'm a pilgrim. I'm just going to heaven. As long as you think like that, you're going to go right through this world and you're going to have no lasting effect on the world. But God's called you to bring the kingdom of God into the earth. He's called you to rise up and take places of influence, places in the political scenes. All right, will you make it? All right, then we'll say, all right, there is somebody who is pure and who is holy and doesn't have any hidden agendas or, you know, all right? So, but listen, you got to rise up and you got to take your place as a Christian, as the body of Christ in these areas of influence to change our world. To change our world, usher in the move of the Spirit before Jesus comes. All right. So he says, there's this power of God that can change the world. But what's so cool about this verse, I got a little bit off track. It says this power of God, God has put in earthen vessels. That's you and me. We carry the power of God within us to change the world. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. That's Romans. How beautiful are the feet. Some of y'all need to look at your feet and say, ooh, pretty. All right? Because you're, if you will, I should say, carry the gospel. How beautiful are the feet. Why? Because they're not just carrying the gospel, but they're delivering the gospel to people in need. Hey, you know what? You might not be called to a pulpit ministry today, but you know that you're called to be the preacher of God? Who's the Great Commission to? You guys know what the Great Commission is? Jesus' last command before leaving planet Earth. He gave us a commission. He gave us some commandments to fulfill. And he wrote those to all believers. What did he say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. God's called you to be a mouthpiece of his. And open up your mouth and tell somebody about Jesus. Christianity is only as legit as its followers are. Will only reach its full potential as those who follow Christ fulfill their role, their function. You got to open up your mouth. You got to preach the gospel and tell somebody about God's wonderful grace, about his wonderful plan, about his wonderful son who died on the cross for them, rose again on the third day. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, he said. That's your job and that's mine. That's not just the pastor's job. That's your job and that's mine. Let me take you, I'm going to show you this a little bit more. 2 Corinthians, if you will. Let's all turn there in our Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. Because I really want you to get a picture of what God has planned, what God is looking for in us, what God wants to work in us. God wants to use you. There's very little that God has ever done on his own. He uses people. And you know what, today, if you're saying, you know what, I can't talk very well, Pastor Joe. You know what, neither did Moses. Pastor Joe, I don't have a whole lot to offer. Neither did the little boy with two fish and five loaves. Jesus used him to feed thousands. There's one precious girl in youth, and she did this speech this last Sunday night. Her name is Susie, and she wrote this poem. And I've often thought this is the second time she's done a poem. And I thought to myself, man, if I could just preach like she reads her poems, I'd be set for life. Like that was just she really has a gift. And she talked about little things, how God can use little things. Little things will make a big difference with God. And she had this poem. She's like, you know what? If you don't think little things can make a big difference with God, go talk to the mustard seed. I was like, ooh, preach it, girl. It's the littlest of seeds, but then when it grows up, it's one of the biggest in the garden and can house the birds of the air. Listen, you might feel like a little thing, but last time I checked, God uses the little insignificant things to confound the wise, to put to shame the mighty and the strong. Come on, God does it to put to shame these things so that his wisdom will be seen. His wisdom is not in the strength of man. His wisdom is the fact that he is God. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. It don't matter who you are, where you've come from, God can use you in a mighty way if you're willing to take your place and be used. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, beginning with verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We talked about that already. But watch what it goes on to say. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. God has made everything right between you and him, between us and him. No more beef with you and God. No more drama. No more bad standing with God. He's made it right. He's reconciled us through Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Watch what it says next. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Who's responsible for bringing reconciliation to the world today? We are. We've been given that ministry. And what a precious ministry it is. No higher calling than to bring the ministry of reconciliation to a lost and dying world. Amen. So we've been given this ministry of reconciliation. Now he's going to go on to describe it. Verse number 19. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Again, please excuse my voice. You can't. This is the ministry of reconciliation that God was in Christ, reconciling, making the world right with him through Christ. Not imputing their trespasses to them. Watch this. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You carry the word of reconciliation. Now then, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. How many of us can say that we're actually living that out? That I'm actually living a life of being a representative of God. I am a representative of God, and I carry with me a new covenant, a new contract for God and men. And that is, hey, God has made everything right between you and him. Now come and be reconciled. I like so much how it uses these terminologies here. It says, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God is trying to plead through you and through me. When's the last time you pleaded with somebody? When's the last time you got down, for crying out loud, on your knees and you grabbed them and you said, please, you don't understand what's to come. Please, he gave his son, his blood was shed. Come on, please. He loves you. Please, you got to make this decision. You've got to come to Christ. You've got to give him here your life. There's an old song that my dad played on the piano while I was a little kid growing up. And the song was written as though Jesus were singing it. And the words went like this. Tell them, even if they don't believe. Tell them, even if they don't receive me. Please tell them for me that I love them. Please tell them for me that I gave my life for them. Please. When's the last time we got out in the streets and I'm so thankful for the laundromat opportunity. Because you can say, hey, listen, I'm going to hook you up. You got a perfect, my goodness, where are my thoughts? Discussion opener. I'm going to pay for your laundry on one condition. You let me plead with you about the man, Jesus Christ. Either they're going to get saved or they're never going to go to that laundromat again. But whether they believe or not, whether they accept you or not, come on, plead with them and tell them anyway. If you need some inspiration, look at heaven. I think Beth preached this months ago and I just thought it was so amazing. I'm going to repeat it to you. If you need some inspiration with something like this, if you need some inspiration, turn your ear toward heaven and hear the angels rejoice over one who gives their life to Jesus Christ. If you need some inspiration, turn your ear to hell and hear the people plead that you tell their loved ones that their loved ones wouldn't come and join them. These are verses from the Bible, people. Do we know what it means for somebody to go to hell, to lose a soul forever? We got to rise up. We got to take our place. We got to be ambassadors. Man, I'm going way too long. I thought this was going to be short. I'm even halfway through. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'll try to go fast now. Just pop it up. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. When's the last time you plead with somebody? Watch what the Bible says. It says, but you are a chosen generation. How many like that today? There we go. It says, but you are a royal priesthood. How many like that today? All right, it says, a holy nation. How many like that today? We're not even done. His own special people. How many of you like that today? You are God's favorite today. Ooh. For what purpose? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Come on, you got to resound the praises of God to a lost and dying world. All right? Now, how do we do this? I want to talk to you, and we're going to close with this thought. I want to talk to you about being the salt of the earth, all right? A light to the world, a representative of Jesus Christ, okay? And we've already said we need to rise up. We need to open our mouth and tell people about Jesus, plead with them. But I want to talk to you about one other area because I think it's very important. Because this area of our life, we can say all that we want to, but this area of our life, really, I'm speaking specifically our life as a whole, can really short circuit the gospel message. And the Bible says in John 17, verse number 4, because how many realize today that Jesus is our example in everything, right? And what did Jesus do? Well, he was the first one to walk in the ministry of reconciliation, right? And he was the most successful at it. Jesus says, you know, the works that I do, you'll do also. And greater than these shall you do because I go to my Father. But that means if I'm gonna do the works that he did, I need to become a student of his. I need to look at how he did the ministry of reconciliation. I need to do it the same way. And right here in John 17, verse number 4, I like it so much because this kind of sums it up, how Jesus did it. It says this, it says, I have glorified you, talking about God, I've glorified you, God, on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me. So he finished the work and he summarized it by saying this, I have glorified you on the earth. See, our job is to glorify God here on the earth. That's what Jesus did. That's what we should do. Remember we talked about earlier and last week, we talked about, you know, we were reintroduced to God through Jesus Christ, right? The same needs to be true of us. People need to meet a living Jesus in us. But the way that's going to happen is as you glorify God. Now, how do you glorify God? You glorify God with the life that you live, even more so than the words that you speak. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to speak, because you have to speak. But how many realize today that it doesn't matter what I say if what I live is different? Help me finish this statement. You've ever heard somebody say, you know, I'm not going to church. Church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. So no matter what people say, no matter how on fire the preacher is, all of a sudden now, the fact that we're living a lifestyle contrary to the doctrine of the name of God undercuts everything that we would say. And with our lives, we need to glorify God as Jesus' life glorified God. If you guys will pop up, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verses 2 and 3, verses 2 and 3. I believe. Okay, I'll 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Everybody turn there real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Watch what it says. It says, you are our epistle. That's a fancy word for letter. You are our letter, written in our hearts. Watch this. Known and read by all men. You're a letter of God to men. You know, before people will ever encounter Jesus through his word, they'll find Jesus, they'll encounter the word of God and Jesus in your life. Many of them. Verse number 3, it says, clearly you are an epistle, you are a letter of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the flesh, that is, of the heart. God has come along and he's written his wonderful story on your heart. And it should be playing out in your life. And the Bible says that when it does, people will read the Christian. Some read the Bible, most read the Christian. So what kind of life are you living today? Because your life preaches the gospel and your life glorifies God. Our lives should be an unstained, unblocked, unclouded reflection of God's glory. Let's pop it up, this last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have this ministry, we talked about this all night tonight. So we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We keep moving forward. It's too legit to quit. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Hey, listen, the life that you live has a lot to say about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And will either bring the gospel to life and power in somebody else's heart and eyes, or will be a stumbling block to them to be able to blaspheme the name of God and his doctrine, the Bible says. So let your life be. If you guys can bring me my effects, let your life be an unblocked, an unclouded, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. You just put that right up here for me. Thank you. Reflection of God's glory. Where is it at? Do I got it? Ooh, there we go. Did that get anybody's attention? Ooh, this is a fun example. Smile. What's that? What's that one thing? Smile, you're on candid camera or something like that? Ooh. What's up, bro? All right. You should be an unblocked. That was an accident. That's not part of the... Okay, let's try this again. This will still work. Dang, it wasn't that week before. All right. Fail. It's one for the fail blog right there. Not as good as Pastor Luke yet. All right. All of a sudden we want to get in sin. Dip ourselves a little muck and mire. Want to tell somebody about Jesus, but then we want to sleep with our boyfriend. And our girlfriend. Well, I love them, Pastor Joe. Want to tell people about Jesus, invite them to church. There we are at work, gossiping, talking trash about them. All of a sudden they walk in the room. You want to come to church with me? Telling people about Jesus. Need to make a decision. They find us at the club and the bar, just like them. All of a sudden, we're trying to reflect God's glory. And it's greatly obscured. You guys get the point? And we wonder why our effectiveness is little to none. It's no wonder why the world is not saved when we live the way that we do. So we need to take a look at our lives and not just rise up and tell people about Jesus, but make sure that we're living the life that God's called us to live. We got to knock off the junk. Amen. and quit being like the rest of the world? Why are they going to come to Jesus when you live just like they do? You do exactly what they do. You're no different. Oh, there should be a difference. There should be a stark difference between us and the world. Amen. Well, we don't actually have sex, Pastor Joe, just oral sex. It's not the same. It is the same. I don't care what Bill Clinton said. Well, I say that because you know what? Here he is in a place of prominence, saying stupid stuff, you know, changing the way that we see things. Well, he's the president of the United States, so I mean, he doesn't realize that his position comes with great responsibility. It is the same. And you know what the Bible says? Of all things, let not sexual immorality even be named among you. Don't defraud and rob your brother of such things. You are cheating them of what they have to offer to their future spouse. Or their spouse if they're married. It says, so don't defraud them. You know what it says next? For God is the avenger of all such dealings. I don't want God after me. So make a decision today to be holy. Listen, none of us are perfect. We've all made mistakes. We've all done stupid things. So if you made a mistake like that, that's not to say that today that God is done with you, that God is after you, that you're going to hell, that life is over. But it is to say to you, knock it off. Come on. You're going to stand before God one day. Come on. Knock it off. Be a Christian and let your life bring power to the gospel when you open up your mouth. Amen. If you got something good from God's word, go ahead and give him a great big praise. Hey, listen, to as you know, we never finish our services dismissed without giving people an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. If you've not done that, if you've not given Jesus Christ all of your heart and all of your life, made him Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. Today, you know what? If you have made that decision before and you say, God, I'm going to give you all my heart, I want to give you all my life, but you know what? Today you haven't followed through with that commitment. You haven't remained surrendered. You've kind of taken life back to yourself and you are doing your own thing. All right? You're doing more of your own thing than you're doing God's thing. We call it a little in, a little out, little up, little down, little token prayer here and there, occasional church attendance. You're not against God, but you're not wholeheartedly for God. Come on, you're lukewarm. Jesus said, when I return, I better find you hot or cold. I better find you extreme in one way or another, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit you from my mouth. Very graphic words of Jesus, but true nonetheless. If today, if you're living a life of sin, God still loves you. He will never stop loving you. But you need to come back to a place of repentance. You need to turn from that and say, God, I'm surrendering my life fully to you. By your grace and by your power, not by my ability, by your grace and by your power, I don't ever have to return to the life I went to again. So if today, whether it's your first time or your 100 millionth time, you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to hit my hand on this pulpit just like that. When I do, I just want you to simply slip your hand up in the air. I'll see it, and you can put it right back down. What you're saying by the raising of your hand is this. Pastor Joe, that's me. I want to give Jesus all my heart. I want to give Jesus all my life today. Hey, listen, you don't have a relationship with him. You're not headed for heaven. Denying hell until you give him all your heart. You give him all of your life. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, that's what it says. You must be born again. You must have given God, in other words, all of your heart and all of your life. You don't get to heaven because you're a good person. You don't get to heaven because you've done religious things. You don't get to heaven because you're in church today. You have a Bible. You know who Jesus is, and on we can go. You don't get to heaven because you think you're going to go there. Not everybody's going to heaven. Heaven is not for everybody. Not everybody's going to get there their own way. That's ridiculous. That's not in the Bible. So come on, if you need to give God all of your heart and all of your life, you simply slip your hand up in the air in this moment. I'll see it, and you can put it right back down. One, two, three. Thank you. One, two, three. Three wise people. Anybody else? Three wise people so far. Pastor Joe, that's me. I need to give Jesus all my heart, all my life. I want to be headed for heaven, 9L. I want to follow him the rest of my days. Pastor Joe, I want what you talked about. I want to meet Jesus. I want to have my sins forgiven. And I want to be the righteousness of God. I want to be made right with him. Thank you. God bless you. Number four. That's me. He's offering me rightness again to be right with him, have a relationship with him. Pastor Joe, that's me. Thank God for your hands. Those of you who have gone up. All right, I'm not going to belabor this. We're going to close it down right now. Four hands. Anybody else? Come on, don't miss it. Holy Spirit is here. He's tugging on your heart. He's calling you home. Come on. Come on, don't miss it. I'm begging you now. I'm pleading with you now. God is pleading with you through me. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Receive his redemption. Receive his forgiveness. Come on. If you need forgiveness today, come on. You need to be washed clean again. Come on. Okay. Four wise people. Well, praise God for the four wise people. Let me have everybody stand to their feet. Everybody stand to your feet. And the four of you who raise your hands, I want to ask you to make a bold move. I want you to get out of your seat. Walk this aisle. Come on. Jesus walked, did a cross, beaten bloody mess for you. Come on. Amen. On this aisle. Praise the Lord. I want to introduce you. Congratulate you, dude. Best decision of your life, my friend. Man, best decision of your life. Ma'am, best decision of your life. Sir, best decision of your life. I'm thrilled. Heaven's rejoicing. Hey, these are my friends. This is Michael and this is Javier. Brother looking good with that beard. Mine don't come in that thick. I'm going to talk to God about that in heaven. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So listen, guys. Best decision of your life. All right. I'm as weird as it gets. Can't even do an example without messing it up. All right. But I want you to go with them. They're going to lead you in a prayer to give God all of your heart and all of your life. You don't get saved just by raising your hand. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. That's all he's looking for. So let them take you right over there. Just take a few moments, let you come right back in here. All right? And then you can be dismissed. Okay. So it's 8:30. I talked way too long. I was all nervous. I was like, God, this message is only be like 18 minutes. 55 minutes later. All right, so we got an activity. Okay, let's just pray a prayer of dismissal. No, I'm just kidding. All right, come on up here, Brad. Everybody get up for Brad. Ariel, you come up here too. You are two wonderful interns. These are the shift interns. They make things happen around here. Does your mic work or do you need this one?
I don't know. Does it? Yeah. Oh, it's all right. On.
He's got something for us to do real quick, and then you can be dismissed. I don't think it should take more than like 10 or 15 minutes, and it's a lot of fun.
I hope not.
You guys want to have fun? Okay, never mind.
Ooh. All right. You guys love Jesus in this place? You love Jesus? No, I said, do you guys love Jesus in this place? That was good. Good word, Pastor Joe. That was so good. I'm going to get that on podcast. I'm going to listen to that again. All right, how many of you guys noticed the square thingamajigger on your chair as you walked in? How many of you guys thought to yourself, what the heck is this? Yeah? A couple of you? All right, well, what you hold in your hand, if you can grab it, please. If you don't have it over there, there are some in the front row over here. You'll get it soon, all right? But what you hopefully hold in your hand, okay, is one piece of a much larger picture, all right? Luisa, if I can get that picture up screen, you can. See, there are three different pictures that are arranged throughout the entire auditorium.